Tell me something. Tell me two words. Free and will. Put them together and what do we have? We have free will, right? And everybody loves free will. Right? Of course. We like to be able to say what we want. We like to be able to do what we want, go where we want, be what we want, any time that we want, regardless of consequences that could come our way. Free will. Okay? That's the title I've given my message today. Free will. The Word of God says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, he may not think, or she may not think, that they are not a fool because they don't believe in God. But the end of the story will be, oh yeah. Anybody that denies a living God will spend eternity in hell. In hell. And that's why the scripture tells us the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In a book that's entitled The Scarlet Sin by John R. Rice, you may have read it, a very popular book at one time. John wrote of a revival when he overheard a girl talking to herself from her pew. Now, she must have been talking quite loud, or the people must have been awfully quiet. Now, her conversation was worrisome, yet determined, very determined. Some of it goes like this. Oh, what will Mother think? Oh, what will Mother think? But what does that matter? What does it matter what Mother thinks? Just so my soul is saved. What does it matter? What people think? Just so my soul is saved. Now, her dialogue was directed to the Lord. She was talking to the Lord. Just so my soul is saved. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? If your soul is saved, well, that means you're on your way to glory. But a lot of times that people hear others in their speech pattern, or just off the cuff, after being disappointed perhaps, or getting in a bit of a quarrel, that they're not saved at all. They don't believe. I know people in my life cycle that I thought were saved for many, many years, and yet suddenly I ask them face to face. You know you're saved and you're going to heaven. No. What do you mean, no? You got saved many years ago. No. Come on. Nope. You're telling me, you're sitting there telling me that you're not saved, you never believed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Nope. Oh, wow. That just broke my heart when I heard those words. It just broke my heart. Is this a picture of you? Worried what people, and especially your friends, will think if you give your life over to Jesus? Is that the kind of picture you have in your mind? Like people think you're crazy. giving your life to someone you can't see or talk to or hear. Is that what you think? Is it? You know, there are many who are faced with a similar situation. What will your friends who are not saved think when you have to say, no, no, to that off-color joke, perhaps? Because if you were saved, you would not say no to that off-color joke, would you? Or when you refused to go to an R-rated movie, perhaps, what will they say? Well, who is this nut? Who is Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect? What will they say? Even worse, when you can no longer hang out with your friends that you've known all your life, then what will they say? What will they think? What will they do? Cast you out? Dearly beloved, I'm talking to you, the listener. You have come to the crossroads in your life. Somewhere, someone was praying and rendered your name before God's golden throne of grace. Oh, yes. You have become a chosen vessel because you repented and you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything you have done, but because of what you have believed. You see, believing and doing are two different things, but when you put them both together, they make a lot of sense. You believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your name, the moment you believed, truly from your heart you believed, the moment you believed, your name had been entered into the book of life. And guess what? It can never. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Once your book is written, once your name is written in the book of life, it can never be removed. Not even Christ himself can remove it. Well, you say, oh, that's pretty powerful talk there, preacher. Well, yes, it is. Because if Christ could remove your name once he had written it down, then he would be denying himself, his deity, and what he came to earth for. And he cannot deny himself. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, not just for a week, a month, a year, but forever, everlasting. How long is everlasting? Well, it's everlasting. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, salvation is a very private and personal thing. Now, if you got together with a whole group of people in some arena somewhere, and the preacher up on the platform said, everybody that's repeat this prayer after me, and you get that lot, and while you're elbowing the guy next to you, I'll go along with him, and you're repeating the prayer, you repented and you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ with your words that somebody was feeding to you. And you figured, well, that's it, it's over. Now I'll get back on the road to my own life and get out of here. You see, salvation is not something you can toy with. You cannot take it one day and then leave it the next day and forget you ever had it or you decide you don't want it because it's destroying your life. Salvation is an individual thing. It's simply between you and Jesus. Not you and your priest. Not you and your pastor. Not you and any graven image. No. Between you and Jesus. Jesus. Tell me. Which came first? Sin or a hardened heart? Sin or a hardened heart? Tell me. The answer, of course, is sin. Because it's sin. Sin is like cement. It hardens whatever it comes in contact with. And sin is the cement that comes in contact with your heart when you deny Jesus Christ. When you deny Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the answer. Sin. Sin always leads to a hardened heart. You may go out on the town, like a lot of people do, and frequent the bars and the dens of iniquity, night after night, wearing an attitude that I'm going to have fun while I'm young. Then, when I've had my fill of what the world has to offer, then will I consider the things of God. And I say unto you, what if in the midst of your fun and games you are stricken beyond measure with what the world has to offer, and you decide to lay aside God's plan of salvation until a more convenient time? What if? Oh, for the longer sin abides, the harder the heart becomes, until the day God gives you over to a reprobate mind. To a reprobate mind. It's been said that Pharaoh's heart was hardened because that's the way God wanted it. And I say unto you, yes and no. God wanted it hardened, and God did not want it hardened. The reason He wanted it hardened was because you denied Him, and thus you hardened it yourself. God will not harden your heart if you believe in His Son and what He did at Calvary. This would be contrary to God, to whom God really is. God's own word tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All includes Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does. It applied to him, too. I know what you're thinking. Well, how fair is that? Pharaoh had no recourse. God blindsided him. He didn't have a chance. And you are wrong for thinking that. You are wrong for thinking that. God created a free will in you. He's not willing that any of His creation should perish. None. Listen carefully now. This is very important, so you will understand. The word is foreknowledge. I've used it in other sermons. It's foreknowledge. A lot of people don't like foreknowledge. Spooky. Well, foreknowledge simply means that God knows what tomorrow is going to bring. He knows your heart and whether you will accept or deny His Son too. He knows it beforehand. Now that's foreknowledge. And when foreknowledge has its way in your life, guess what comes after it? Predestination. Because when God's foreknowledge tells him that you will never come to Jesus and get saved, then He predestines you to an eternity in hell. You don't know that. God does. He knows your every thought. He knows what you are going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You can't fool God. Nobody can fool God. That's why He is God. Listen carefully. This is important. If I were you right now and you're not sure about your salvation, rest assured that God knows about your salvation. Whether you're going to accept Christ or not, He knows right now, even while you're hearing this message, and you might say, oh, I got to get saved, because after hearing what this message is all about, I got to get saved and make sure that I'm going to heaven. Well, God knows if you will. Even before you made that proclamation, He knows if you will. He knows your every thought. He knows yesterday. He knows today. He knows tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do. All that God made and created, aside from the plant life, were given free will. Free will. God could have made us like robots, mindless. So we had no choice but to do His perfect will. Oh yes. But God chose that we should have free will. That's important. Free will. We must make the decision ourselves. You don't want somebody coming to heaven and say, oh, I must have taken a wrong turn somewhere. I didn't mean to come here. I mean, that might sound silly, and then maybe it is, but I'm trying to make a point here. You are given free will. It's up to you to believe in Jesus Christ and what His Word says about salvation, or deny Him. And when you deny Jesus Christ, you deny God the Father. But God gives us all free will. Let me put it this way. Is it not greater that we love our God freely and willingly and joyfully? Or should we have no choice? Should we have no choice? Oh, well, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I know what I'm thinking. You know, Pharaoh, whom God destroyed because of what he did, the great calamity of sin he caused. But Pharaoh had a choice, even Pharaoh. But God knew what his choice was before Pharaoh made it. This is a point I'm trying to make. Foreknowledge is called. Pharaoh had a choice, just as we have a choice. But God knows even before you're born. How's that? Even before you're born, what that choice will be. God knows the end from the beginning. We do not. Do you? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, you might in part, and you might hope, but you don't know for sure, because tomorrow is promised to no one. Although there are times we do think that we know what we're going to do tomorrow, and we make plans to do such. The question is, would God create, with the slightest hope, such a race that could and would take His place have the foreknowledge and the predestinational power that God has? Would God create us to do that? No way. No way. No, 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 no. Such a move would create more gods. There's only one true God, but there are lots of other gods roaming about even in your neighborhood. But they're not the God of the universe. They're not the God of your salvation. No way. There's only one. Jehovah Jireh. He's the only one. Can a village, town, or city, or country tend to its affairs without a head table? Without a head table? No. Only one. Only one can make that final decision, for he is the chosen one. He is the holy one. To ignore or overrule him is chosen. Him, rather, who is chosen, is to deny his capabilities. Deny his capabilities. And ignore his perfect will for us. Allow me, if you will, to go back to the issue of robots for a second. Firstly, God did not create robots. Man did. Man did. Okay? Man created robots, but why? For the same reason God created man? To serve? To do his perfect will? Perhaps. So it would seem that, in a way, man is trying to mimic God by creating something to do his perfect will. Man's perfect will, that is. Like God created us to do his perfect will. It won't work, folks. It never has. It never will. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with creating or constructing something to make the ill-fated dynamics of men easier to build and provide life's essentials, so long as we don't cross that line of a Dr. Frankenstein. You getting it? Bear in mind, I ask you to bear in mind, before you come again before God's throne of grace, bear in mind, you must fully understand, man can build the framework, but only God can give it a soul. Have you got that? Man can build the framework, but only God can give it a soul. Man can build the church building, but only God can give the people a soul. Only God. And only human beings now have immortal souls. It's us who live and breathe by God's mercy and grace that have human immortal souls. If your pet cat or dog dies, their soul dies with them. They don't have to worry about hell. There's no afterlife, no heaven or hell, no nothing for your pet dog or bird or whatever. But the soul of man never dies. Never dies. Let that be a fair warning. If you think that death is termination for both body and soul, is that what you think? Human death is simply the opposite of human life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. to die in Christ is to live with Christ. Have you got that? To die in Christ is to live with and for Christ. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 35, verse 9, David mentions his soul as being joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation, he says. And in Psalm 42, David laments for his soul. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Works both ways. Do you see the connection? The soul is the essence of salvation. Psalm 63, my soul thirsteth for thee. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. And then in Psalm 107, verse 9, we read, for God, God, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And then over in Matthew, as we draw close to the end, over in Matthew 10:28, we read, and fear, this is the warning from God, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Not able to kill the soul. How's it with you? Is your soul right with God? Are you a believer in what Christ did at Calvary? Do you know that if you take your last breath this day, you go to sleep at night, that if you don't awake, you will awaken in glory? Can you be assured of that? Yes, you can be. All you must do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's guaranteed in His Word, and God don't lie. God don't lie. I want to thank you for listening. I pray these words have taken lodging in your heart some way, and I pray that you will cleave to them in the days ahead and understand just how important it is to give your life over to Jesus Christ while you can. The door could shut just like that, and your hope would be lost. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh, yes. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.